Welcome back to Intentional Partnerships. Hopefully you enjoyed our episode last week that was recorded while we were attending the Parents as Teachers International Conference in Phoenix, Arizona. While we were busy learning and presenting and talking to all sorts of people, Mike had an opportunity to walk around and hear from you with our podcast. We want to make sure that we have an opportunity to share those stories. And so for the next few weeks, as we wrap up this season of Intentional Partnerships, we'll be releasing a few episodes that are short conversations gathered from the podcast about the amazing work that is being done around the country. We hope you enjoy listening.
All right, so we've got some really cool people that have come by our booth here at the PAT International Conference, and I want you to tell us who you are and tell us what you're doing with PAT.
Hi, I'm Michelle Schmidt, and I'm a Senior Evaluation Associate at LaCroix & Milligan Associates, and I've been here at the PAT Conference presenting, just completed my third presentation. And what I've been presenting on basically is program evaluation work that we do with local PAT affiliates in Tucson, Arizona, as well as Maricopa County, Arizona, presenting on the evaluation results and how PAT helps to support families, and we're building the evidence base for the program.
Very cool. And?
Hi there, my name is Katie Haberly, and I also work at LaCroix & Milligan Associates. I'm the Research and Innovation Manager there, and so we are really excited with two studies we're working on with PAT right now, and one of them is a five-year longitudinal randomized control trial with three sites here in Arizona to look at outcomes over time. And we have developed the Healthy Families Parenting Inventory, which is an assessment tool to help look at parent outcomes over time, but also as a diagnostic clinical tool for workers working with families.
And so the people here at the conference are here because they get the value of PAT, and they're doing it. And so some of them, they always need numbers for funding and everything else, but these people believe in it. But talk to me real quick about the challenges of just collecting appropriate and effective data. And again, I mean, you can don't go too deep for us. But those challenges of we want to know how this thing is doing, but we're talking about a human endeavor with lots of moving parts and variables. So what are you seeing that as far as the challenges of your work of just getting that data?
So the presentation that I gave yesterday focused on how do you collect these assessments with families in a way that is thoughtful, mindful, and effective, because oftentimes even, you know, home visitation workers themselves are not on board with collecting this data because they feel like it can detract from their relationship with the family. But what we've learned over time is that these assessments, if done correctly and if people are trained appropriately, can actually really build rapport between families and the people that are working with them, because they help provide some sort of insights and just kind of glean some information about what's going on with the family that you might not otherwise know without some really, you know, validated good evaluation tools. Also feeding back that data to programs so they understand, oh, look, you know, we're seeing these improvements in our families in social support or, you know, personal care with our families, and understanding that collecting that data is what gives us that information to know how we're doing and how we're succeeding with our family.
That's very cool. And so when you get this data collected and when you put it together in all the cool ways that you guys is way smarter than me can do that, what do you see, like you said, for programming? Because we have people that come in, they have certain ideas about the value of PAT, mm-hmm. or what they want it to be, and yet you've got to show them sometimes, no, when you do these things that you may or may not want to do, this is how it works. Or you want to do this, but we have no data to show that this is an effective practice, or this is how that is. But when you take it apart from the professionals, where else is a good use of that data, and how are you guys seeing that to the benefit of PAT?
Sure. Well, programs, absolutely. We always encourage and try to develop any evaluation report or brief that we develop. We try to make it user-friendly and utilization-focused so that funders can easily see the outcomes that are demonstrated by the programs. And actually, the Healthy Families Parenting Inventory is a great tool that can show change over time from pre and post, baseline to 6 months, even 12 months, to show changes over time in families across 9 different domains. And that can be very compelling to have that information, as opposed to simply talking about program outputs, which would be number of people served,
right,
number of home visits completed, home visit completion rate, which is very important, and that's part of the PAT essential requirements in order to be a high-quality program to fulfill those. So we always encourage sites to take information to their funders. It could even be to their political constituents.
Right.
Advocacy groups.
Right. Absolutely. Sharing it back with families at celebration events is important to do. And then what we're doing through the randomized control trial study that is coming up, as well as a recently completed quasi-experimental design, where we looked at students who completed the PAT program compared to a matched comparison group of students in that same school district who did not participate in Parents as Teachers. And so we looked at their student learning and achievement outcomes over time. And that data was showing that the PAT students outperformed in reading, math, English language arts assessments, English language learner. Yes, absenteeism was huge. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I think the average absenteeism for the PAT intervention group was 1.3 days, and then for the student Sunnyside, the district data was 4.8 days average.
So you take difference. 3.5 days. Now I'm from Texas, so we use average daily attendance as our funding.
Right.
So you take 3.5 days over kids that were in PAT times all the kids that weren't, and then you put a dollar figure to that.
Right. Absolutely.
So what would be your investment back in the PAT, just in that that one piece of data? How many people can we now serve from those funds? Because we know that's going to save us those funds in the long run,
right,
or it's a better investment of those funds because they're coming back if you're funded that way. In Texas, we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And so that's that one piece of data, but also quasi-experimental, right? the only other big word I know is efficacy, and I don't even know where to use that, right? But and also like, because you were able to grab a set of kids that didn't get those services, and it wasn't they may have not have been part of that service. You know, it's not that you're restricting
right.
that, but yet you have that opportunity. That's the hardest part about those kind of those projects is so we're going to just say you don't get it. No, it's somebody that already didn't get it, and we compare them. You know what I'm
right.
saying? And that's the hard part when we start talking about serving people. Going back to your inventory, though. Also, I was, you know, working with families, I was really encouraged with that because, again, nine domains.
Right.
Yeah, and because it's not just the kids have a bedtime or the kids can read in third grade. There's so many things that go along with a family, and there's so many things that even as PAT is focused on specific things, you get all these other good things that are strengthening families and or what we would call protective for
protective
the families.
Factors.
Protective factors for the kids. See that? Okay. Those are not big words, but I mean, it makes me look good when I put those
two. That's a nice phrase.
Yes. I look smart when I can say protective factors. But, again, where do you see us going next as far as either in the use of the data or the next kind of what data can we get? Because I'm seriously blown away by your inventory because I've been around this 20 years, and we're always getting peace, and we're always arguing about whether that peace is valid or not, and you guys have this
right.
instrument where we're getting all of that, which is fantastic. But where are you going next? What do we need to do next, or are you just going to continue to use and develop that?
So we have a number of studies that we're doing, not only with peace, to you, but with other home visiting programs to utilize the HFPI to look at outcomes over time to show the benefit of home visiting as a movement, you know, as an initiative for communities, whether it's Parents as Teachers or other home visiting programs. They all use the HFPI to help look at those outcomes. But we're developing a very strong relationship with PAT National to develop studies, you know, throughout the country so that
right.
we can start to show these outcomes state by state, community by community. And so the study that Michelle was talking about, we're getting a lot of interest from other school districts and other communities that want to do similar studies so they can show their policymakers and their communities the value of PAT. So I think there's a growth there of understanding here's some evaluation opportunities that might actually impact your funding and your community resources. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is doing these more rigorous research trials like the randomized control trial with PAT National so they can start building their evidence base so they can pull down more funding at the national level to
right.
distribute more to their programming. So I think it's twofold. It's community-based, but then it's sort of, you know, this national initiative to really help parents and teachers get on these clearinghouse lists for this best practices for their program based on having this more rigorous research base to draw from.
Well, and just even talking about the inventory, just the fact that you have a foundation of stuff that you're using that's well proven that people can now implement, because don't you find that when you guys start talking to people about evaluation, one of two things happens: you scare them to death, or they glaze over.
They glaze over.
But it is a scary thing, because what am I going to do with that data? And you guys are putting that together in a good way. And again, that inventory,
even I can understand it. So
excellent.
If you would just print it out in Crayola, it would be perfect for me. That would make it, just the data in Crayola would make it perfect for me. But you guys are doing amazing work. I know PAT is going to glean a lot from what you guys are doing. And I know you guys have been talking a lot about it, and I appreciate you taking a minute to talk to us about what you guys are doing.
And programs can contact us for more information.
So tell us how they can contact you.
HSTI.
I'll give you a chance to pitch, so throw it out.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So we're at lacroixmilligan.com, lacroixmilligan.com. You can find out about the HFPI. There's a user agreement online, and we also have trainings. We do in-person and webinar-based trainings so that programs don't have to feel like they don't understand how to use the data effectively with their clients, or that they're just capturing data for the purposes of putting it on the shelf.
Right. No, and that's what, again, that's part of that deal where people get scared of it because we get it, but we don't know what to do with it, and you guys have a really great tool that people can use. So that website again?
LaCroixMilligan.com. And we also have a manual, a user manual, which I personally helped edit.
There you go.
So it's really well done.
Not only has she done three workshops, she is an editor.
No, she's a powerhouse.
And we have some
force of nature.
Really cool laminated tip sheets that parent educators can use and take with them on visit. And then the kids like to chew them, and then they can easily clean them because they're laminated.
There's going to be jelly involved.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, well, thank you guys for your time, and thank you for the work that you're doing for PAT.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks for the opportunity.
My name is Stephanie Taylor. I am from Newport News, Virginia, where we do the PAT program in addition to Healthy Families and our Families Support Partnerships Unit, which is part of our Prevention Services Bureau.
Very cool. So tell me about what you've learned here at the conference.
I've learned so much at the conference. A lot of technology is available for home visitors, and there are lots of ways to make their work easier because they have very unique and challenging jobs. So I have very much enjoyed learning about all of those things that are available and having the opportunity to go back and see which of these things we can acquire to actually put into use at our program.
Very good. So talk to me about what are the technology pieces that you like and that you need. And it doesn't have to be a brand. It can be. So what are you seeing where the technology is really going to help you?
What we've seen, and I've only been in this part of social work for a little over a year. I had worked in adult services and adult protective services before, but my heart and passion has been for children and families. So I'd had some prior relationships or working experience with Healthy Families, with Head Start. And now that I am a supervisor for the PAT program, I realize that what people make seem so easy when they're doing it is really not an easy job at all.
Right,
so it really benefits them to have access to, for instance, streaming tools and technology, because parents are often using their phones and more into what they can see through that than anything else. And so when we can tailor our services to what it is that they're already doing, that makes our service delivery easier and maybe perhaps more effective, because if we allow them the opportunity to stream something on their phone or to access an app with information that we need them to have and use on their phones, they're more likely to actually utilize it and to access it.
Absolutely, and that's a great way to reach families. So what's been the biggest aha of the whole conference? You're sitting in a session, somebody says something, and it may be at lunch with somebody, I don't know, but what was your biggest aha?
That's a really difficult one, because there have been a lot of aha moments. But I think that one of the sessions I just attended about community partnerships, because we're always looking for ways to broaden what it is that we do, and because our funding is limited and we can only use the funding that we receive in limited ways, it's important to form community partnerships that we can get things that may not be allowed as much from funding. So one of the ladies in the session I was in said that they have an MOU with a taxi company. That was something that I'd never thought about before. So that was quite an aha, because we have families who very much have challenges with transportation. And when you have challenges with transportation, that means some of the things that you may need to access for your families, some of the things we're trying to link you to, you might not be able to really very easily or readily access. And so I thought, aha, I'm going to go back, because we actually do have a partnership with a young lady who does work with a nonprofit organization, but her business is taxi cab. So I can call her and ask, hey, do you think you might be able to enter into an MOU? And it could start out very small, you know, a limited number of rides and only certain limited number of situations. Because when you have children, of course, you got to travel with a car seat. And that is one of the things that is sometimes a barrier. If I can't really get there because I don't have my own car or somebody in my family to take me, I'm not going to go. And that means something that my child might need, they won't have, and I won't be able to get them there. But if we could similarly partner with a taxi cab service like this young lady, then we would have the ability to have her take her child in the car seat to wherever it is we're trying to link them to get, you know, what they need. And because the more needs are met, in families, then the more attentive they're going to be to the other information we're trying to give to them about parenting, about child development, about parent-child interaction, about literacy, and how important it is to just talk to their child, even though they may think, but my child doesn't understand what I'm saying. But that's how they acquire literacy.
Well, that's fantastic. So we hope you have a great conference, and thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
This podcast has been a collaboration between Parents as Teachers National Center and Strong Fathers, Strong Families, LLC. To learn more, visit us at either www.parentsasteachers.org or www.strongfathers.com. You can also find us on Twitter or Facebook